When Puss in Boots discovers his passion for the adventure has taken its toll, he has burned through 8 of his 9 lives. He launches an epic journey to restore them by finding the mythical last wish. Welcome back into J&G's Movie Adventure. We are trying a new format today. First, we're going to see if we recommend a certain film. And today's film is what, Gianna?
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
The Last Wish. And then the second half of the episode is going to be us diving into spoilers and things that you can't necessarily say in a recommendation. So to start off, Gianna, do you want to tell the story of how we found or how we ended up going to Puss in Boots?
Yeah. So Jackson and I were in the same area for a little bit over winter break. And we were with some friends and they were talking about going to see Avatar. And me personally, I haven't seen the first one. I won't see the second one. They were asking us if we want to go see it. I really didn't want to sit in the theaters for like 3 hours and watch a video game. Anyways, different discussion. So Jackson and I are sitting there. We're like, well, do we go? I'm like, Jackson, you can go. I'm staying here on my couch. But then all over TikTok, everywhere, still to this day, Puss in Boots comes up.
I actually didn't see anything on my For You page.
Really? Oh,
before,
so maybe
before we
me.
Saw it, I didn't see anything. It was right after. It was for sure right after.
I guess. But all over my For You page, I'm sitting there. I'm like, Jackson, let's go see Puss in Boots. So like an hour later, we get in the car. We're in the theater and boom, amazing. Yeah.
There wasn't other films in the theater necessarily to see. Like, we could have seen like Babylon, but that was getting bad reviews and such.
And it's long.
And who doesn't? Yeah, and it's long. And Puss in Boots is only like an hour and a half, an hour and 42 minutes. So it's not, it doesn't feel long at all. It feels every moment in it is definitely engaging to at least standpoint. Like, it's interesting in every moment, but I would say going into this movie without seeing the first Puss in Boots in like 2012, I was definitely like, all right, what am I about to see? And I would say the villain of the movie is very good. I guess there's multiple villains, if you want to say that, just multiple protagonists trying to get this mythical last wish, but it's more of a story focused around Puss in Boots kind of just being like this hero that he can't, can he pursue that life of being a hero anymore with his 9 lives running out or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely, I saw the first one, not in like a long time. It would give some more context. I think it definitely adds to it because there's like references and cameos even, but I didn't know that stuff. I was excited about that. But I think it's definitely worth watching both of them to see not only how Puss's journey continues, but also how they play off of each other. But I'd recommend
this was a good movie. Yeah, I think if you look at all of like the Shrekverse stuff, this is just like another well-added piece to it. And who doesn't like the Shrekverse? Like, I don't think there's not a lot of bad films in that universe, especially with like Shrek 5 coming out soon.
Actually,
that should be an interesting. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's confirmed.
I didn't know that. I thought that was just like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. So.
Yeah. So I'm excited. The animation in this was different than I thought it would be. It's definitely like Shrek, but it has its own like twist to it, which is really nice.
Disagree with you though. It's not too much like Shrek, because even in the first one,
I would say that.
Even in the first one, I saw something where DreamWorks was trying to make it a little more like gritty, I guess, than like Shrek. So like, I guess like images, like the fairy tales are like not darker where they're like evil now, but they're a little bit more like toned down from the Shrek world. Or the Shrek movies, I guess. I forget exactly what it was, but it was interesting. And this animation style was newer. And the way they approached it, I forget. I'll have to find the TikTok and maybe I'll put it in here. I'll repost it on our TikTok account. But
I would say this animation is definitely different than the first one, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's too different. Like, they redesigned characters. People were debating over Kitty Softpaw's design from the first movie to the second movie. I didn't even notice it until someone said it. But they also, in their action sequences, took a different approach, which I personally really liked. It was more made to look more like a comic book. Maybe I'll put a clip in here where you can see from a trailer, but it like switches back and forth, which I think is really cool. And it was really like really good to look at. So
yeah, it was definitely a beautiful movie to look at. And even if you get lost or you're bored, at least it's like visually appealing to go watch. And plus this is like a PG rated movie, so you can bring the kids to watch, even though there has been some backlash on the villain, which I don't know if you want to spoil, so we'll save that for the second half.
Yeah.
But that was, I think, from an adult standpoint, that was what made the movie so special, was that villain aspect to it. Because, like, Antonio Banderas has Puss in Boots, like, who doesn't love that, right? But I think...
No, for real.
That, like, takes it, like, a step up. Like, I think both of us, as I look at our Letterboxd reviews, I gave it 4.5. I think you gave it 4. Or no, you gave it 5.
No, I gave it 5. That was a 5-star movie for me.
And that, like, it was, like, originally a 4-star movie. But, like, the villain made it that, like, top-class animated movie.
And it's not just the villain, too. It's, like, everything that the... Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of reiterating what you're saying, but everything... The character itself is great, but everything that the villain implies and brings along with him and like the stakes,
it's just like the themes. It's the themes that
the themes. Along. Yeah, that's something too. We'll have to get into the second part, because obviously it's Push fighting for and trying to get that last life, but can't really go into too much detail without spoiling it. Keep it vague here,
but it's definitely an adventure reviews. Movie that has what's it called? Not some. It's like whatever. It's got like a great message along with an adventure. So it's like
symbolism.
Kids might not get it. What?
Were you trying to say symbolism?
No. It's like
start with an S.
Sublimity, whatever, something like that.
Subliminal.
Subliminal messaging or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I think kids will just kind of get the whole gist of like the adventure part, while as like adults or older people watching this will just get like the themes more.
That's another
what kept
reason
me
why.
Engaged.
Yeah, like me too. I mean, I was probably going to be engaged regardless. I'll still watch like a kid's animated movie any day. But I forgot what I was saying. No, that's why it's performing so well, is because it's reaching all these different audiences. For example, like the people on TikTok, but then also the kids who are like younger and wanting to see this movie with cats and dogs and fairy tales. And that's the other thing too. The fairy tales, I think, also does a good job along with the villain and like the themes of like bringing people in, because there are some that like maybe some younger kids might not know as well as others. For example, like Goldilocks and Jack Horner. Like, I know more adults know Jack Horner, but definitely kids do know Goldilocks. At least I think.
Yeah.
And I hope. But
that's what that added something nice to the movie too. It gave like that nostalgia to it. Like, oh, I know Goldilocks. Like, that was like a thing, like Goldilocks and the Three like Bears. Like, oh, I know that. So it kind of was nice to have some background knowledge, I guess, if you want to say that, going into it. Not saying that you need to know these fairy tales.
Yeah, because even then, they do a fantastic job of introducing them all.
Yeah.
I think regardless of who you are and what you do know, you will learn who these people are and
for sure,
their
for sure.
relevance and puns, what they mean. So,
yeah. Okay. So let's end this recommendation portion. So we have our 3 tiers of recommendation level. Instead of giving it like a star rating, right, from like a letterbox or Rotten Tomatoes score, we're going to keep it very simple. And you either go see it in theaters, you just wait for it to come to streaming, or you like rent it at home, or you just don't see it at all. And I think I can speak for the both of us, but I won't. This is definitely a go see it in theaters type of movie.
Agreed. Couldn't have said it better myself. It's an experience. If you don't see it in theaters, it has been out for, I think, 2 months now. But, I mean, it's still got some time left on it. But if you don't get the chance to see it in theaters, most definitely stream it. But theaters over stream it,
yeah,
for sure.
I will say, I think we can both agree that this is a JG movie approved. So hit it with the stamp approved.
So absolutely. Yeah. This is your last warning because we're about to do our spoiler review of Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, stop here, come back. And now we're going to break it down and tell you what we really thought in the specifics. So
the little things. All right. To start the spoiler section of our review, I think we have to start with the villain, Death, right? Very, very compelling character in itself. But I think when we went to go see it, you actually mentioned to me that like, oh, I think the villain in this movie is Death or something. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I knew nothing going in. But you actually don't find that out until like halfway through the movie.
Yeah. And on like cast lists and everything, they don't even have him listed at that. They have him listed as Wolf. And like, obviously in the beginning, he states he's a bounty hunter. But then I knew, well, I assumed because I saw the clip from, I forget where they were fighting when Puss has like the panic attack where like the camera spins from Puss like turning to see Death.
That's like when they take the dog.
Yeah, and it's got it. The cave is like in the shape of a skull almost. I don't. I'm assuming that's intentional, but that's what I picked up from it. So that's why I was like, oh, okay. Like he's got to be Death. This movie's dealing with his last lives. But even then, like putting pieces together, it still wasn't too obvious, which I think. That was a great reveal. Like, even, like, having that suspicion, like, it slowly started to make more sense as to why, like, he was, like, following posts or whatever. I mean, obviously he's a bounty hunter, but I thought it was
apparently you could see him in the opening.
Yes, I did see that.
During, like, the bell thing with the giant tree monster or whatever. Apparently you could see him in the crowd, which is actually super cool. And I love little details
but
like
then,
that.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, how long has Death been following him? Because I feel like in the bar when Puss and Death first meet, he says something like, I've been following you for some time. Mm-hmm. So,
to theorize, I guess, does Death technically follow him every time he dies? Even though he has 9 lives, does Death have to be there for each life lost? You know what I mean?
That's interesting. I think
that's an interesting question.
He said he was there for everyone though.
So
right?
Yeah.
Because he has the X's on his hook thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say yes, but it would make sense if he was only there for the last one because that's like the big one.
Yeah. That's it. But then I think Death played a good part in the characterization of Puss. Because, like, then you see at the end, like, he's like, oh, like, I only have one life, so I might as well use it. And so I was like, oh, or I might as well, like, that's all I need. And I was like, oh,
huge
there
part.
We go.
He,
that's, like, that's the character. Yeah.
He, like, completely changed the character, though, because we went from this, like, oh, I can do anything, I'm invincible attitude to this, like, well, I do only have one life left, like, let's enjoy it. Which is a different topic of conversation, because that's a crazy great message, and it's kind of hard to do sometimes. I feel like some movies do try and do that where they're like, life is so beautiful, live your life. But like the way that they were able to get this across in a children's animated movie is ridiculous. It's so, so good.
And I'm actually interested to see how Puss in Boots operates, I guess, if that's the right term, in the next film, whatever he's in, if that's the next track or whatever. Because it's like, okay, is he still going to be, like, your favorite fearless hero? Or is he going to be more of just, like, a hero? Because I still think they're, like, because obviously he's still a hero. Because at the end, he, like, still, like, fought and whatever. He's, like, coward. But, like, is he going to be a little bit hesitant or not? We shall see. I don't think so. Because I think he'll definitely take, like, a backseat in that movie. Because it's a Shrek film.
I think he might mentally, but... It's still like a part of the act where like people don't know that he was chasing after Death, like even with Soft Paws, like obviously that was a little different in the mindset before he like realized like, oh, I'm gonna live this life, but even before then, like he was acting as if like it wasn't a big deal. So I think it's all mental, but I think the act will carry on.
let's see. Okay, and then let's transition from death, and let's talk about the side characters. I think you got to start with Kitty Southpaws. Obviously, I knew nothing about the original, but this one completely told you all of their backstory. I guess besides like the first film, like I watched that whole film on TikTok in clips.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't watch like everything, but I watched like the climax and then the ending. But
did you see the scene when they first met?
When they were babies or whatever?
When Kitty Softpaws and Puss first met?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
They were both going to steal the magic bean from Jack and Jill.
Yes, and, I think I did see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, who are you? Yeah.
Yeah. But
I will.
Sorry, continue.
You're going to interrupt me again?
No. No.
No. Yeah, I think so. Like that explained the whole backstory. Like, it was good because she's obviously a returning character. But that's like something in sequels that you kind of have to do in a sense if you want to keep, like, this is like 10 years after the original, right? So you have to bring like, also it's like, and they did it in a way where it's not like a refresher, which is really nice, or not like a recap. It's more of like a, this is what happened kind of in between the movies, which is really nice. But she was badass. She was a badass character, say the least, right? So yeah, that's all I got on her.
I thought she was great. I thought her character translated really well from the first movie to this one. I don't have anything else to add besides what you had.
I think
my oh sorry.
She was a good like secondary character.
Yeah, for sure. I think she had a purpose there. So I think that definitely helped with Puss's development, but then also like with the story, like it was kind of seamless the way they brought her in, because like that's the same way they're introduced in the first one, where they're both on a mission and they run into each other. So I'd agree.
So next up, I think it's up to talk about Perito.
Oh, of course.
Who I thought when I first saw him enter, I was like, oh geez, this is going to be one of those characters who's annoying, but he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He had his moments, I think, of, I guess, comedy, if you want to give it that, but he wasn't like, he had quite a few. I guess. Yeah. But
I mean, my big moments of comedy, I'm like, some of the comedy, doesn't do well with me just because like the corny stuff, but he had quite a few bleeps, you know, like curse words.
I forgot about that.
That was funny. That caught me so
off
guard.
That was funny that they did. He was cursing and they did bleep that out, which was very interesting.
He was a good character. He, along with Softpaws, also served a really good purpose. I think that was also like a good example to Puss and to other characters about like taking the small things. And I mean, he literally does take the small things, and like gave the line where it's like, you know, sometimes it's a good thing to like stop and smell the flowers, which I think is not only a good reminder for those characters, because we see it happen with like Goldilocks and her family, where she takes the second to step, well, not in the same sense, but in a similar sense, where she takes a step back to realize like everything is just right. But it's a good reminder for those characters, but also like the audience too. Like it serves a good purpose as a reminder.
True.
It's like,
he's probably
enjoy the small things in life.
Yeah, he's probably the character that influenced the change in Puss. I don't think if you think Kitty Southpaws was like the reason he changed.
No,
it was Perito.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the benefit, I guess, of him changing.
Yeah, like it's definitely like an influence, but not the main reason, I think.
Yeah, no.
Well, there's a couple
Perito's
different
philosophy.
Yeah, definitely. But exactly. Other side characters though, the other, I guess, antagonists in a sense, or the characters that Puss is also fighting for the star with. I personally like Jack Horner. I thought the character was good because he's just greedy. Like it's just a different type of like evil compared to the wolf. But I cannot stand John Mulaney's voice. That thing pushes me over the edge.
It definitely stands out. You definitely like, because I didn't know he was in this, and then I think I like looked at you and I was like, is that you, John Mulaney?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
But
other
Goldilocks,
than that, I think Goldilocks was good with Florence Pugh. Did not realize
Slade.
That. I think I realized that though, like halfway through. I was like, wait, is that Florence
it took
Pugh?
You, a second. You did the same thing where you're like,
is that Florence Pugh? The Bear family was all good.
They're
side characters
entertaining.
Weren't what's it called? Negative point of the movie. If anything, they were positive. I think
Yeah.
they needed Jack Horner just for like that chase sense.
I think
Even though
it,
like
he
his death was
definitely.
there, but like that's more puss related. It's more of like a conflict for the whole group as a sense.
Yeah, he definitely added too in the sense where it's like different points of interest where like Puss wants his life, but Goldie and the bears all want their own things, where Goldie like wants a family, but he just wants it to have it. Like
Like have
it's just
power.
like,
He's like
yeah, it's
power
like
hungry.
stealing candy from a
It's like a
baby. Like you don't need
typical
it.
villain motive.
Yeah.
But yeah. So to wrap up this episode, like we said, go see it in theaters and all that. To leave you off on this little note, I think that little ending with them sailing towards far, far away has us excited
Oh,
for
for
more
sure.
DreamWorks Shrek verse stuff. So we will
Okay,
definitely keep
let
you
me just
guys
go on the
updated
record
on
and say
that.
this right now. Let me just go on the record and say this right now. This movie put the nail in the Disney coffin for me. I team DreamWorks. I'll say it and I'll say it proud. This movie, like I just said, did something for me. I've been more of like a I was Disney kid, you know, like I had all the dresses and everything. Different story. But I did always like DreamWorks, and I think this movie at my adult age has really solidified this decision
Interesting.
for me.
That should be,
But
maybe that's one, that's a future episode.
you know what? I think
What
that's a great
what's the best
idea.
animated studio? Maybe that's a tangent. Maybe they should subscribe for future episodes like that. I think that would be a good
And find
idea.
out
Listen and
who is
subscribe
the
wherever
best
you get your
studio.
podcasts, because JG is on podcasts everywhere you
But
can get it,
what?
except for Apple Podcasts right now. We're figuring that out. So anyways,
We'll get it.
we'll see y'all in the next one. We'll get it figured out. New episodes every week. So make sure to subscribe to All Jacked Up down below. Follow us on socials, links in the description. Anyways, we'll see y'all in the next one.